Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us through your word, and we ask that as we engage with you through your word this morning, by your Spirit who inspire these words, we would hear your voice, we would understand your truth, and you would give us grace to live in the light of it. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, of course, the Olympics have finally got underway. It's 7 years now since the International Olympic Committee awarded the Games to London, and now July 2012 is here. Well, as the Olympics get going, there are always memories of Olympic winners, of victors from the past. So we saw much on Friday night of Sir Steve Redgrave, the only Olympian to have won gold medals at five consecutive Olympic Games in an endurance sport. Dame Kelly Holmes is often featured. She won two golds 8 years ago. Lord Sebastian Coe, who of course won golds in the 80s, has been the leader of the London 2012 whole campaign. Dame Mary Peters, who amazingly now 40 years ago won gold. Christine Oharugu, who won the only British athletics gold last time. And Sir Christopher Hoy, the most successful Olympic male cyclist of all time. But of course, no one remembers Olympic losers. They get nothing, except perhaps the wooden spoon, the traditional prize for doing badly, coming last in your event. But we all remember instead Olympic winners who get gold medals. Well, a figure who has been high profile since the last Olympics and also in the build-up to London 2012 is the performance director of British Cycling, effectively the coach of the winners of the 14 medals, including 8 golds, won by Team GB in the Beijing Olympics. Now, his name is Dave Brailsford. Now, he won the BBC Sports Personality of the Year Coach Award in 2008 and was recently made a CBE by the Queen. And just recently, he oversaw Bradley Wiggins winning the Tour de France as the principal of Wiggins's Team Sky. Now, I discovered just in the last few days that Dave Brailsford and I share the same great-grandfather. He's in fact my father's cousin's son. Sadly though, Dave Brailsford being such a winner has done nothing for me. When it comes to cycling, I would of course be much more likely to get the wooden spoon rather than a gold medal. I don't gain anything from his victories. In fact, Dave Brailsford doesn't even know me. Given the nature of families, our common great-grandfather had about 10 children, many of whom had children themselves, including my father, and the families have not kept in touch. And we, as the next generation, have never met. Dave doesn't even know of my existence. I only know of his because he's become nationally famous and information about him is available on the internet. Well, the great truth that we're thinking about this morning, however, is that there is a person who has won the most important victories ever. And it is possible not just to know about those victories, but to benefit from them ourselves. In that Bible reading from 1 Corinthians 15, we find that the new Christians in the Greek city of Corinth were getting very confused. If you want to have the reading open, it's page 1158. Now, these Christians seemed to be thinking that they were in heaven already, and they were getting carried away in their behaviour. Paul has to remind them of the good news and the fact that the best part of the good news is yet to be experienced, but it is guaranteed because Jesus has won the key victories that we human beings most need. There are two enormous problems that we human beings have, and they're connected. We have a problem with what the Bible calls sin, and also with what sin ultimately leads to. Death. Jesus, however, has won the victory over both sin and death. Now, according to the Bible, the biggest problem we human beings have is that we have all turned away from the God who has made us. We were made to know God and to enjoy his love, but we've fallen out with him. We prefer not to have him involved in our lives. And this is our problem of sin. Sin leads us to failing God, to hurting him and others. Sin cuts us off from God so we can no longer be friends with him as we were made to be. We think, speak, and act in ways which make God sad and rightly angry. We were made by him and for him, after all. Now, the Bible is also clear that we can't fix this sin problem ourselves. In fact, most of the time, we don't want it fixing. We are all losers because of sin. But God sent Jesus into the world to put things right. Jesus, fully God and fully human, is the winner when it comes to beating sin and what it leads to. At the start of that long chapter that we read the end of a few moments ago in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures." Verse 3 of chapter 15. When Jesus died on the cross, he dealt with our sin problem. Jesus beat sin and the problem that it causes between us and God. Jesus took the sins of others in himself and he won a victory over them. Jesus took the place of those who are losers when it comes to sin and can make them become winners. See, Jesus has won the most important victory. He is the winner over sin, and he makes forgiveness of sins possible. He came to open up the way to God again. So for those who in themselves have no hope of finding God, Jesus has reached out and dealt with their ultimate problem. He has won the victory over sin. Jesus, the winner, can make losers winners. But how do we know Jesus is a winner? Dying on a cross, frankly, makes Jesus look like a loser. Well, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, part of which we read, is all about how Jesus didn't stay dead. His death was a victory over sin, and we can see that it is a victory because he was raised from the dead. Verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Now, this is absolutely vital, of course. In verse 17 we read, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." Without Jesus being raised from the dead, those who believe in him remain losers and would not be winners. But in fact, Jesus has been raised from the dead, and that proves that he has beaten sin, and that those who rely on what he has done for them share in his victory. The resurrection proves that Jesus is not a loser, but rather a winner. It is the evidence that those who belong to Jesus are forgiven, that they are made friends again with God. We are winners and not losers through Christ. Jesus has won the victory over sin. But there is another victory that Jesus has won. We all know that there's one thing that we cannot avoid, and that is that one day all of us will die. In the end, we are all losers when it comes to taking on death. We may cheat it for a while, but not forever. Well, the great truth that 1 Corinthians 15 reminds us of is that there is someone who has beaten death. There is someone who, though he appeared to be a loser in the face of death, is most certainly a winner. The Apostle Paul tells us in verse 20, "In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead." Jesus won the victory over death by dying himself on the cross and beating death. And God proved that Jesus had beaten death because he raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus, the winner over death, can transform death into life for others. Now, of course, we don't see this victory fully worked out now. That seems to be part of the mistake of the Christians in Corinth that Paul is having to correct. People still die, even those who believe in Jesus. But we have the promise of Jesus' victory, and the reality of his victory will come later when Jesus returns to this earth. We read, and fans of Handel will recognize the words, verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," that is die, "but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound when Jesus comes back to earth, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." When Jesus returns to earth as the ultimate winner, some of his people will still be alive and waiting for him. Others who have died will be raised from the dead themselves, and all his people will be transformed. In this broken world as it stands, our lives and bodies are broken. Paul calls our bodies perishable. They wear out. They are mortal, so they will eventually die. But when Jesus' people are changed by him, when he returns, our lives and bodies will be imperishable, immortal. They'll be perfected and will last forever in God's heaven. Jesus' resurrection body is the model, that transformed, glorious body. Such a body will be ours when we believe in Jesus. Then the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal immortality. And then shall come to pass the saying that is written in the book of Isaiah: death is swallowed up in victory. See, we look forward to a day when we will all know that though Jesus had looked like a loser, he is in fact a winner, the winner. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Death will be fully and completely beaten. And so Paul can say, verse 57, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, have you come to share in the victory of Jesus? Have you recognized that you can't win the battles over sin and death yourself, and that you need his victory to be made real for you? Have you turned back to him as the victor and put your confidence in him to put you right with God and to forgive you? Have you come to depend on his resurrection so that you can overcome death and have the hope of transformed bodies? Well, if you have, the truth that Jesus is the winner and can make us losers winners is a vital truth to hold on to in our lives. For we often fail. Regularly, we feel like losers. But we belong to Jesus, who is the winner, the victor. Paul finishes his teaching on Jesus' resurrection by saying, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." So keep going. Hold on to these great truths. Don't give up. Keep holding on. Keep serving. Keep praying. Keep working for the good news. Well, the Olympics are now with us for a couple of weeks, and we're all looking forward to cheering on the winners, not so much the losers. But whilst we shall enjoy their victories, we shall not really benefit that much from them ourselves, if we're honest. But the great truth that 1 Corinthians 15 reminds us of is that Jesus has won the most important victories of all. We are all losers, deserving the wooden spoon. We're guilty of sin and can't fix things ourselves. We're all going to die and we can't prevent it. But Jesus has beaten sin and death. And if we give ourselves back to him and receive the gift that he offers to us, we can benefit from Jesus being the ultimate winner, so that we too become winners. We can be given, as it were, Jesus's gold medal. As the Apostle Paul puts it in our reading, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for King Jesus, who is the ultimate winner. We thank you for his defeat of sin and death. We thank you for his victory, and we thank you that in union with him, we can share that victory. Please work these things in our hearts and lives, we pray, that we might stand firm and immovable, confident, humbly in him, serving you and not giving up. And we ask for his sake. Amen.